Yeah, audio is good.
Okay.
So we can go
Level
anytime.
Hamilton beri the picture of Bottas punya
Oh, the
the
charity.
behind.
Oh, I mean, it's
Dia
for
beli
charity.
Man
Oh
just
my
gotta help. Oh, man help the charity any weekend.
for poster apa keep it for posterity or is it for posterior
Posterior. Posteriority.
Posteriority.
Yeah, it works both ways. God
Oh
damn
my
it,
god.
there's a peachy on there. Huh? Good, good. I mean, who has the better pitch? Valtteri Bottas or Master Chief?
No, Checo Perez.
Oh, yeah.
Checo Perez.
Of course.
Tell me this tale of defenses, very large dump truck. Oh, man. You'll be scarred for life after watching that one, but oh god, perfect.
Boy, how
also very good airbags for porpoising.
That's what they're improving right now.
Big dump truck.
Some say it's ballast through the wheel.
Oh my god.
I mean, you're gonna work it if you wanna get that dump truck. Is that the dumping of the intro?
Yes,
I guess so. Yes.
Yeah. On that note,
let's go.
I hope everyone's butt cheeks are on clinging tight because welcome to Dialog, the Game Matters podcast, episode 110.
Ooh, very balanced. For the next episode, tapi we have a long time getting there first.
Yeah.
I bookmark a joke for that, unless it gets derailed. But yeah, I've prepared a bit. Anyways, introducing the panel, we have Daniel over there.
Hello.
On the other side is Anand.
What's up?
And I am Amirul Macronos Ashraf, and it has been 2 weeks of video games that have passed. I mean, everything else happening, but here it's video games most of the time.
So what have we been doing for this past week? Something about playing video games and for the first time.
Oh yeah, and apparently we've decided to play the same video games this time.
Dang.
Hey, imagine that everyone have access to the same video game.
Whoa. Is this the part where we have to thank Game Pass, or do we have to skip that part?
I mean, a passing mention would suffice because we have a name for this. We have a name. And we're branding it as is. I know it's not a sponsored deal, but it can sound like a sponsored deal by the way we talk about how much we get access to all these games, right? But still, it just happens to be one of the ways that everybody can get access to the same games. Welcome to the a new latest addition to the show. It's the Game Pass Game Club. So the
thanks to Xbox Game Pass, we can start this like new series.
And no money was passed yet. We're waiting for the check. If this segment goes off, we're gonna ask for that check. But anyways, we've decided to play one game that was a new addition to PC Game Pass, at least for us. That was added in the past 2 weeks. And that particular game that we've chosen for this episode is
Citizen Sleeper.
Citizen Sleeper. No, not that Twitch emote. Shut up.
No. not Resident Sleeper.
I assure you.
Citizen is the same.
I keep confusing this game's name with Resident Sleeper when I first heard about it. Like, oh no, is it Is this a boring game? That's my first impression. And then I played Citizen Sleeper. So yeah. What about you guys? Why you guys try and explain what is this game?
Right. It's
explain mechanics or the story.
Either way.
Wait, that's quite hard. Tapi cerita lah. Because you play as, I think, is it a robot, a cyborg, or ataupun?
It's a human transplanted into a biological robot.
Yeah, biological robot. Yeah. And you're dying as well.
Yeah. Okay, you play as a, essentially a human consciousness loaded into a organic robot. And the organic robot is owned by a corporation, which also implements planned obsolescence. Yep. into the organic material within the robot. So within time, if it's not treated, the whole body is going to decay and you die as a result. Yeah,
so far so cyberpunk.
Yeah, very cyberpunk.
Oh, by the way, you're in space.
Mm-hmm.
You are basically living on a space station, and the mm-hmm. space station is technically has a lot of history behind it. It used to be a very thriving colony, and then capitalism happened.
Yeah.
Oopsie, you're not making us money. Layoffs and leading to mutiny.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever is left is what you are now living on.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever remnants of society making do. And now you are figuring out how to, like, this is a new place that you are in. You have to find a place, you have to find a way to survive firsthand. And then you need to figure out how to get money. And also you have to eat. You need sustenance. You're not a full robot. So you need money. And yeah, a lot of the struggles of, you know, the B40 people, which is, oh God. Isn't it?
B40 simulations.
But push to 11. Mm-hmm. Now with more capitalism and sci-fi being planted. But what do you guys think of the gameplay? Because the gameplay is kind of interesting.
Yeah,
the way it's implemented.
Yeah, it's basically a tabletop RPG.
Yeah.
It's a CRPG. As in, the game is played in cycles. So each cycle, you're given a set of dice, randomly chosen dice. The dice number is your, what do you say this? Like skill check, right?
Yep.
Chances that, for every action, let's say you want to go to work, and you want to do a job. Mm-hmm. So the higher the number on the dice, the higher the chances of it getting a positive result. So succeeding, basically, yeah. Also, the number of dices that you have depends on your condition, at which it deteriorates bit by bit every cycle.
Well, you gotta stay healthy if you wanna do more work, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm.
Also, time's ticking.
Time's ticking.
Oh, God.
Also, you have limited money, also energy consumption, cutting.
A lot of, like, at first it feels like a lot of things to juggle through,
it's overwhelming, right? Yeah, but as you play, like, you get the gist of it, you get the cycle. Okay, how much condition I have, how much dice I have, okay, what's your plan for the next two or three cycles? Yeah, like, it gets easy over time.
Do you guys remember what the class you start with?
The what?
The class you start with, or essentially what skills you have.
I took the
I remember there's an engineer each class, and then there's a class that can do interfacing stuff.
Interfacing. I picked that one. Yeah.
The hacking bit lah, basically.
The hacking bit. Yeah.
Oh no, I took the extractor.
Oh, same. Big boys or big girls or big person, basically.
Yeah, big person. Yeah, endure trait. Then
for first time player, I really suggest taking the engineer out because it helps with get highest chance of succeeding in jobs because of the the physical. I forgot.
Yeah, they have like the three
physical trait. Yeah,
the skill check and there are three. There's engineer, interface, endure. Engage. I don't remember the last one. Is it intuition?
Yeah,
intuition.
And last is engage.
Yeah, last is engage. Yes.
Like being the big person is just basically. Oh wait, is the hall is the ship on board? Are they docking today? Are they docking today? Let's haul some cargo and get food from there.
Yeah.
You're basically the spam that. But the problem is your work choices at the early game are not that much. So you're gonna be struggling like, oops, repair fail. Oops, repair fail. What do you guys think of the writing?
Yeah, the writing's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It captures the struggle of a synthetic starting a new life, the struggles of being a human yet not seen as a human.
Yeah, oh, man.
Also the capitalism shit. Yeah,
you wanna extend the allegory? How much is this similar to the struggles of an immigrant?
Oh my god!
Oh no!
God, it is quite a game. Like it is quite layered. Lah, that's why you can look. Macam, I think remember the first guy we met, I think it's the Salvager, apa nama dia? Drago? Is it there?
Uh-huh.
The first guy we met, he also said in one of the dialogues you're not gonna last long anyway here. We get you folks every other week and then you guys just die. You know, bleak as hell.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, I mean, okay, for me personally, the main attraction for me playing this game, exactly the mechanics, the gameplay, the story. I mean, the story itself carries the game, to be honest. The, how do I say, transhumanism? Yeah, I think that's the word. Okay, how do I say? It takes me back to some of the other works iRobot. Have you guys seen iRobot? Old movie. Yeah.
Yep, the movies before.
Consciousness in a Robot. And then an anime series, New Endia to Our Heart, Sword Art Online, of course.
Oh,
okay.
I mean, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, the underworld arc, okay. Mm. And it revolves around, do you consider an artificial consciousness human?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the central question within that. So, looking back at all these works, movies, anime, and then even games Citizen Sleeper, do synthetic beings with human consciousness deserve to be called human? Do they also deserve right as much as us?
Oh yeah, I can extend the allegories here, but I think people can make the connections right now. Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, for me, you know how good the story is? It's been the 2 weeks since I've played Citizen Sleeper. By the time we decided to play this game for this bit, right? I've played it through. I finished it in under 2 days, and then I haven't touched it. I've been playing other games. Coincidentally, also kind of a tabletop-ish RPG with skill checks. We'll talk about that later. Yeah, I still remember the story beats of Citizen Sleeper. It kind of those themes are lingering in my brain. It's living rent-free.
Yep, exactly. That, I just played one session, but I still remember, like, not the whole story, but I remember the gist of it. Yeah.
My favorite bit is, like, in the late game is where you can finally find peace.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, you know how the struggles in the early game of, like, oh, not enough money, oh, not enough condition, oh, I need to...
Not enough energy.
Oh, everything is just simply not enough, right? There is a part where you go into the space station later on, and you just find, oh, everything is enough. What money? Oh, that beat was like, oh, okay, that was fun.
But what about the characters? I think like my favorite so far kan, is the what's the girl yang duduk luar, the ship mechanic.
Mina.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Lamina. Lam and Mina.
Yeah, those two.
Oh, I didn't follow them. You didn't follow that route.
You didn't follow the story.
I didn't follow that route. I followed another route.
Okay, what route you follow?
I've dabbled with the mercenary girl, Ankita.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Anita.
Anita is pretty good as well, yeah.
Yeah. I followed through with her too, yeah.
And then there was an awkward moment because went into investing for the ship repair bit on the orbit. There is a repair service that was like closing or something, but oh, if I can invest money in that, we have to do like multiple jobs in quite a deadline to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And the end bit is like, a very awkward encounter after something happened with Anita. So, okay. Things are, are you guys not talking? That bit happened, like, all right. So, you can feel the tension in the writing, which is fun. Like, okay, they address it. Good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, one of the questions that is being asked in the game is that not everything is black and white. Like, is it gray enough? Is it more black than white?
The most shades of grey, I think. That's
shades of grey, yeah.
Like when everybody is getting by trying to survive by the very minimum, what is black and white?
Yeah.
Everybody just wants to live. Want to find some way to get
to belong.
Yeah, and belong. I didn't explore the national subplot, a bit conspiracy with. Between the doctor and the whole gang that runs the under the slums down there.
Oh yeah, that one. Yeah, I didn't follow that.
That one also I didn't follow, but it kind of has like a cool intrigue where the gang members say, "Hey, you can work with us and see actually what is happening down here. We're not the bad guys as what you think." Right now,
it's the corporation.
It's the corporate. It's the corporate dog, basically.
Like everything bad keeps on pointing back to, it's the corpus, isn't it?
It's your
corpus.
Freaking corpus, man. Yeah, I followed the storyline. Okay, the Anita storyline, that one, and then the bar. That one I finished until I finished the kitchen. That one. Oh. And then Lem and Mina. And then I finished the building of the colony ship, right? Because they want to make a new colony. So that one's also tied to Lem and Mina's story.
Oh.
So if you follow Lem and Mina until their like sub arc, those two will like gather during the end of the ship building, basically. Yeah. And then what else? Yeah, I got my apartment. Did I finish my apartment? Yeah, I did finish my apartment. Finish fixing. The one that I did not follow the doctor and the gang. And then another one is the end crossing there. The greenhouse.
You didn't go to the greenhouse. Oh, the greenhouse.
I did not follow until the end. Way
true. The greenhouse is the bit where I say about, you don't need money.
Mm-hmm.
It's a community of like Hey, you work, you get food. Self-sustaining economy. Yeah. Once I settle down there, everything is taken care of. I don't need to even care about money. I just work there, get my food on, and then I can just grow mushrooms and basically have a very small life. Very simple life. But then I decided to, let's invest my money to the ship repair business. And then, the way you travel is kind of like cumbersome. So you probably need a lot of different residents to sleep between cycles. So I decided to rent the hotel up there. The hotel is a capsule hotel. It's called Capsule 0451. God damn it. It's called 0451. It's an immersive sim reference.
Ah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 0451, yeah.
Yep.
Immersive sim Easter egg.
Oh, God damn it. At least this one deserves it better than Guardians of the Galaxy. I didn't expect to find it here, but here we are.
So, Chana, how do you guys feel about this game? Is it like which, game of the year worthy, ataupun is just one of those most surprising type of games?
Hey, it is surprising, that's for sure.
Best story contender.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I agree.
Story contender, yes, exactly. Yeah. I agree.
Easily.
Yeah, and the fact that's why we're talking about it like vaguely, because the story is pretty good.
There's layers to unfold, and whatever your background is, you can find something that kind of like resonates with you, even in this like very weird alien setting, right? And I also love the fact that the gameplay kind of feeds back into the story. It captures the dice rolls, captures the struggles of doing mundane tasks every day.
Yeah.
Which is very like, the gameplay isn't much, but it works perfectly for the story they want to tell.
Yes. Bit like, macam apa, it's kind of like Disco Elysium in a way, kan? Dia punya,
yeah.
Because you have to roll so before you can use your moves, etc. Mm-hmm. Really cool.
The dice bits, and it reminds me of another space game. It's called Tarsis, Tharsis. But it's a weird one to make me remind of, because that one is a game of RNG hell. Everything you do, you probably gonna fail, and you have to like wait for, you have to think about putting which die into which slot. But this time around, that same concept. It's still a bit dire, but it's not like game-ending dire, or the stakes are not that high.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, like Sleeper says, if you have a negative outcome, sometimes you still continue the task, but you take more, you take hits on your energy level or on your condition level.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that.
Or you don't get the maximum money. Maximum credits, yeah.
Essentially, very but the way it uses dice in those is very like very reminiscent of Tarsis, which is weird to make a comparison of, but here we are. But yeah, I think Seated Sleeper would be
Sleeper game.
yes.
My God.
I think it would be like. At first, I saw the earlier videos and why are people raving about this game? Good thing we have Game Pass and check it out. Because, they hit this one very good.
So, shall we move on then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I have a question. Since we're moving on, I have a question, Mac.
Uh-huh.
Why does Vampire suck? Isn't that a movie?
Are you talking figuratively or like literally?
Yeah, figurative or literally.
Okay,
that is also a good question.
So here's the thing. Okay, the context is that I've played through Vampire the Masquerade Song. It's out now. The review's up on GameMeters.com. So here's the thing. I've been harping a lot of time this on this podcast even about I'm very fascinated with Vampire the Masquerade as an IP and even the World of Darkness in general, right? I've checked out the Werewolf game. So now that I've played my first Vampire the Masquerade video game, yes, I haven't even played Bloodlines. I've been watching like glimpses of playthroughs here and there. But this time I've sit down and basically like consume what is being presented of this world of darkness. So fascinatingly, vampires suck. And yes, they suck blood, but also suck in general. And this is an opinion. Like, I'm not talking about the game. The game is okay. I mean, there are like rough edges here and there. Go look at the review. Look at that. But here's my thing about vampires as portrayed in this world of darkness. Okay. Here's the thing. First, vampires in this world apparently have reflection, so immersion shattered.
Oh wait, the
mirrors are working. Like, from a video game perspective, like, oh god, this game have a lot of mirrors. Interesting. Wait, they have reflections. Okay, all right.
Okay. Oh, no, they already broken the rule.
But that's small gripe lah. Because you know the vampires doesn't have reflections. Like what what do I call it? It's like folklore, fairy tale kind of like telltale signs, right? So not necessarily related to the world they have established. What they have established is weird. First thing, when you want vampires operate in generations. And the lower generation you are, the lower your vampire power might be. So if you are a Gen 11, so you are already far off the chain of the stronger bloodline. Like the strongest is, I think, third gen. Your Dai Senpai is Kane. And then you go down Gen 3, Gen 4, Gen 5. And the ones that are living in the modern times like we are, it should be around Gen 10 or Gen 11, unless you are from a very short bloodline. Somehow, if you find a Gen 3 vampire roaming around and you keep on saying, hey, please embrace me. Yo, suck my blood, bro. Then you will be Gen 4. So here's another thing that I'm surprised to learn about vampires here. So you know how you can have like what they call it a retainer. That's the polite word for a ghoul. Basically, your servant lah. Like I think in Bloodlines it's a mechanic where you can like you can get humans to like do your bidding and everything, right?
Yeah.
So apparently, how you do that is like by having them suck your blood, and you enter a bloodborne. No, not their blood bond. D with the D. The bondage of blood.
No.
So the idea is if you suck enough vampire blood, like you will be obsessed with that vampire. Huh. Okay. And interestingly, in Swan Song, I've also learned that vampires can do that to other vampires. And that's basically committing torture. Mental torture. It was a trauma for one of the heroes. Like, oh god. And I have to see that again. Oh god. That sucks. Oh, another thing. Vampires. Of course, this is true to the general law that we know of vampires, right? They don't go out in daylight. You know what, right? So apparently, to operate them as a business, because they have all these like nighttime activities, right? They run a business, they run clubs and everything, right? They have to have one human accountant doing everything to manage the business.
Wait, why? So why couldn't they just bite like bite an accountant and become, like blah, 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 a kindred accountant?
Why do you want to have a kindred accountant? Because that kindred cannot go to the bank.
Oh, yeah.
On business days.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Holy shit, that actually makes sense.
How they gonna transfer money and open an account and do the paperwork that involves going to offices at banks at broad daylight when they all cannot do that, because if they catch a glimmer of sunlight, they're basically dead. So they have to get some humans to say, yo, you work with us. We pay very good, but you basically have to work night shift. Night shift only.
Oh my god.
Oh boy. They are so reliant to that bit. Which is actually interesting how they can manage to have, like, imagine like the Camarilla, as they call it, right? The secret society of vampires. Oh, I should mention, this is the Camarilla is basically the mainstream sect of the vampires. There are also offshoot sects, which I should, I want to make a comparison, but it's kind of religious-y.
Oh no.
You know how there are Sunni Muslim and Shia Muslims?
Oh no!
Let's just put it there. You can put together what I mean here. Oh god. So there are like other vampires that are out of the schism hanging around, but the official schism in the Camarilla, the big one, imagine that they have to operate all the business, like clubs, like what else? They also do... Of course, they also do a little bit of illegal trade, but instead of like trading drugs, they are trading blood. You know, blood is something they need, not to just get out. They need to survive. They are very hungry for blood, and they have to manage all this network of like business and everything, and it all like have to like bottleneck into one asset manager. If that person die or happen anything to them, basically the whole society, the whole organization, it will be in shambles. Like, what the heck? They have to run a tight ship to get all this done. Like, the whole idea of the appeal, what I thought about vampires in the World of Darkness, is that, oh, they roam in the night, they're basically immortal, they live like forever, and they like have all the pies in the many things that that they can control human society without us knowing. Well, apparently it's not that really. Mostly the vampires squabble among themselves. You know, everyone wants power. So everybody is like politicking around. Oh, he's friend with this guy. Oh, he's scheming what behind my ear. Oh. A lot of that is represented in Swan Song, which is fun for people who like political intrigue or court intrigue or Crusader Kings or you know, general politics, I guess.
Oh god.
People who like to navigate the people playing 3D chess games behind their backs, right? That appeal is there. But also no wonder these guys are very they are not as powerful as they seem. They keep squabbling among themselves. They are also very limited in number, and despite their long-lastingness and the way that, we can regenerate our skin or whatever again, they are very easy to deal with. They can die easily if you know what you're doing. Like in Swan Song, the stakes get very high, and I mean that literally. There are stakes high at stakes. Play. There are stakes at play. You know what I mean?
Literal stakes.
When I see the stakes, like, vampires just die?
No.
Oh, apparently, the real monsters here are not vampires. Guess who is opposing the vampires?
Abraham Lincoln.
I was about to say Josh Washington, tapi okay lah.
I mean, close enough. Basically, mortals. Us. Humans can The ramping up of the action is when everybody, when the vampires are panicking. God damn, the humans know we are here. They are sending in the squad. The squad of like very, a squad of very people with very strong faith. To the point that if you go and talk to them and try to use your vampire magiciary, vampire powers on them, right? Then it's just like, oh, iman kuat. My faith is too strong for this. You cannot go through. My God. So, that's what I learned after playing Vampire the Masquerade Song Song. Vampires seem cool until they don't. Because everything that needs to get them running in such a high power, there's so many like places where it can easily crumble the whole society down. So that's why I guess they don't like set up shop too long. They keep on like moving and fleeing to different parts of the city, to the different parts of the world. Like even the characters in Swan Song, some of them have to like they are based in US and then flee to Europe. And then, oops, World War II happened, flee back to America. Yeah, vampires are weird.
Yeah.
I'm glad that the world itself is the world building, the lore behind them, all of them, like, I'm very satisfied with what I've learned. All of them, like, kind of like, oh, okay, in this world, it's like this. Okay, it checks. And it, does it also be like this? Okay, also. But it just exposes that, oh, vampires are not as as sexy as they may seem. They are not impervious as they have been alluded to.
Wow, so that means Twilight lies then, shaking my damn head. I can't believe a book about Twilight is not real, about vampire stuff. Wow. It's the appointment.
But yeah, go check out Vampire the Masquerade Song Song. It's okay lah. I find it good, but some people may have like issues with some of the things. Like there are skill checks, but I don't think the skill check bits are good enough. And maybe what I'm saying is because I got the bad ending as my first playthrough. I saw the demise of the vampires, so
yes.
That is what informed my opinion right now about vampires being suck. Oh God, they die so easily, huh? The society is fallen just like that. Oh, they're infighting lah, scheming, whatever lah, these guys. I guess it perfect. The name kind of alluded to, you know, Swan Song.
Yeah, it kind of alluded.
Also, there's a lot of Swan references. Apparently, the big boss, the prince of that local Camarilla, is a very big fan of swans. Like, she has a tattoo of a very... it doesn't look like it, but when you look it closely, thinking that it's a swan, it looks kind of like a swan. On her back, very visible. She hides a lot of like swan paraphernalia. There's a music script of what's that? Or the classic song about the black swan or something. Something swan. I see some notes there. I didn't remember all of that, but I remember the one with the circle bits because it's a solution to a puzzle.
What? Wow, the play, like, that's kind of weird. Like that is. Oh, a swan. I like swans, man. I hope I don't get a swan song of this then.
Oh, by the way, the humans that are attacking the vampires are organizing and put in their specified documents. All of them are named as Operation Swan Song.
Oh.
Oh my God.
So, it's an inside job. So they know what they are getting in. Like the humans know what they are doing. So that name is not like, oh, coincidental. No, no, no. They are aiming for the swan.
Boy.
Swan Song has a very interesting story too, but I'll rather not talk about it right now. I need to see a better ending. But what I see about it is like, oh yeah, the world of darkness lore is all checks out. Also, I see some werewolves also. Shout out to the werewolves.
Is this Twilight the game?
I told you.
Hey, by the way, vampires and werewolves in the world of darkness also hate each other.
But are they hot? That's the question.
I mean, if you consider wolves that are like twice the size of humans and like ravages everything and leaves a trail of destruction and blood as hot, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not judging. Melatol people left that. Huh? I'm not judging.
Yeah, I was implying before that it is also similar to Twilight because vampires and werewolves hate each other. Who are you, dog? Oh, you're calling dog leech. Like, oh god, that name calling. They also do name calling. It's like, okay, very established rivalry here. Not even rivalry. Like, they're very... It was not a pleasant conversation when talking to that werewolf, but I managed to make something out of it. And it was very useful.
Boy.
Swan Song.
Okay, so where do you put it, this game? Is it memorable? Will it be in the game of the years? Ataupun... itu je.
You know what? It has a chance in story.
Nice.
It has a chance in story because I'm very pleased with the world building a lot. That the developers got the basically the lore bible of this IP, right, which is based on a tabletop RPG.
Mm-hmm.
And then they basically, oh, can we fit that in there? This is not vampire, but it's still in the world. Can we fit that? Okay, can. Werewolf can? Can? We find a way. Yes. Put there. Oh, how about the evil humans, the hunters? Can we put them too? I have an idea. They put it there. So everything is like that. And of course, before they do that, everything that you expect from a Vampire the Masquerade video game, all of the bases are covered. So yeah, pretty much. Is it the best game? No. That I saw a review saying like, oh, this is this year's The Forgotten. Nah, it's not this year's Forgotten City. Not that high. But it's somewhere around there. There are a lot of like...
Halfway step.
Too many things that kind of drags it down. But just enough to like say, oh yeah, this game has something special. They're doing at least... At least it's doing something better than Bloodlines 2.
The less we talk about the game, the better.
On that note, we can move on.
Yeah, true. So, where shall we move on from? That's my question.
Look, I see Minecraft on the docket.
Ooh.
Does it need, does it need an explanation?
I mean... Yeah, it is Minecraft. So I've been playing, well, the last week, I've been playing Minecraft with my friends. And, okay, so a bit of a bad story again. I haven't played Minecraft since, when was the crossplay, the enabled crossplay for Minecraft? 2019? 2018? Or 2020? 2020, August 7th. Aha, there we go. So 2 years ago. So that was the last time I played it. I think I played it with my brother on PC while I'm on the PlayStation.
Uh-huh.
And just for giggles, can we just play, me and my friends, we just like, how about we make a city in Minecraft for no reason? Because every idea starts with someone just saying something very, of course, wait, thought-provoking ke ataupun very, inspiring.
So the charisma check was a success.
Because, yeah, the 90% charisma check, kan? Tick! Oh, proof. So, kan, so that means, the context is I haven't played this game for 2 years. Now it's 2022. And do you know what happened? Because every block, every server block is different because, you know, they randomly generate, kan? So our city was winter tundra. Literally, no trees. Adalah trees, but like a few patches here. But all ice and no sand at all. Just ice.
That's even worse than Alaska. Than,
That's why. But the worst, I think that the worst part, our server punya map, there are polar bears and they are standing on one block of ice. Like, is that picture from the National Geographic?
Oh no, global warming bit. Oh,
the global warming. It is like I have a picture there. I'm going to show you guys. So I apologize to the guy, but to our listeners, again, but this picture is the funniest thing I've seen. The funniest picture screenshot I've taken of playing Minecraft since ever. Like,
oh no, oh.
Global warming isn't a joke, folks. It's even in Minecraft as well. And and the best part, again, like the best part. We after the excursion with the polar bears. Apparently, again, if you attack any ice block, the polar bears will attack you now.
Oh,
hammering home that global warming in your part. He probably in that polar bear's mind then. My dude, I am literally standing on a block of ice and you're breaking more ice.
No, this is not the time to break the ice.
No, not now, my goodness. My man. Like the funniest thing, and the funniest thing is that after that inside one of the tundras, can we kept breaking ice, can we found a mine shaft. Like a fully built mineshaft, because this is randomly generated by the game server. So we found a big ass mineshaft with everything. So we have diamonds, copper, gold, all in this one mineshaft. With the caveat is that all of the enemies, guys, their spawn points are everywhere.
Okay.
So it becomes like. It becomes like a challenge, like trying to clear up this mineshaft with all of this very nice loot. But you know, the enemies keep spawning because there is their spawn points everywhere. And I think like before we come to this podcast and our campground, I guess, has been upgraded to so that now we have like cobblestone houses and all, and. I think this is an allegory of civilization building too fast. I guess so. Because my God, we're serious. Because that's another picture of that's another picture. I'm sorry again. I apologize to our listeners for this one because we are building fast. like this is like we're like it's like we're playing a very fast game of of civilization. We have extended it to 5 or times 5 or times 4, so everything is going fast.
You tech into the tech tree too fast. You've unlocked the modern era before everyone is still in the middle age. No,
not wrong picture. Yeah, but I mean, like, we've been playing this game for non-stop, sampai like 4 or 5 a.m. We're just building shit, like, oh, this is so much fun. Oh, it's actually 4 a.m. Okay, so like, oh my God,
I see a cavern upstairs. Oh, you're building in the caves.
Yeah, we're building in the cave where all of the materials is there.
Well, good.
That the best part is like the best part is that this we have 6 of us, and me and my other friends are in the caves while the other 3 people. The other 3 friends, they have decided to live above ground. So they have become basically our enemies, ah.
Oh no, civil war already, goddamn.
Civil war already. Like, so this is a very fast game of civilization. Disguises as a Minecraft video. Incredibly true. I mean, we did try to trade with them, but they didn't want our scraps, I think, because I think they found their own stuff, like, you know, gold and all, so, ooh. Who knew Minecraft can spiral into chaos like this? And the best part, this is no mods, this is literally just, we just buy a server, can just, like, tong-tong do it to buy a server, and that's it, there's nothing else. And already is, and that means in 1 week it's already chaos.
The power of Minecraft. Craft your own war and
craft your own war, civil war between brothers. But we haven't found redstone yet. That's where things get fun, I think.
Oh, okay.
You know, automated shit, yeah.
You guys haven't moved to modern tech, not yet. You're still like in Renaissance era. Haven't reached at least the atomic age yet. No, not yet.
Yeah, every time, every 1 hour we progress and then it goes night time and then the spawn rate goes crazy. Chaos.
Only about time when people start nuking each other then.
The moment we found gunpowder, and I think that's the time where we start nuking people. Whoops, we put a very nice block with a TNT below it.
Oh, just one?
One?
Okay, one starts, okay. But then... Then you spend 60 hours dig underground to put in a dynamite trap filled with like 60 layers, but 60 by 60 by 60 layers of TNT. And then suddenly, oops, activated, server crash. Or at least run in the very low frames.
The server already crashed once or twice. Because there was one point like when we were speeding up, we were going underground and their guys were going up, and the server, I think, calculated like, oh, they're going very deep and then the other guys are going very far, towards the server crash. So we had to build, and then we really had to climb up a bit. Good times.
Yeah, at least you found the limit. Because there's only one way to find out.
Yeah, by crashing the server. So, yesterday, so technically we had a day off yesterday because we had to fix the server.
Oh, God.
That is the beauty of Minecraft, I think. It's like the chaos, the controlled chaos that you can do. And the worst part, like, because I league race with my friends, and these are the same friends that I'm league racing with, and while we're doing the worst part, we were doing practice for our race just now in Imola. And while we're driving, they keep complaining. Daniel, I think I'm getting Minecraft withdrawals.
If that's the case, then it's only about a matter of time when someone in the server suddenly, ice block Sepang circuit. Race in the woods.
A bunker. Suddenly makes a bunker. I don't know. I mean, we already did a bunker then. We already reached that step of a bunker. A thermonuclear bunker.
Oh, at least make the Indy 500 lah. The Indianapolis is just a literal
our
break.
Oh, yeah. Our roller coaster kan. After we find out, I think after we found redstone and then we start the technology era kan, I think we can do a Indy 500 pakai the minecarts. That's a good idea. That's actually a great idea. I haven't reached per crony punya level of Minecraft edition yet.
Yet. The keyword yet.
Yet.
Look, you're already making steps now. You're already basically in the bunker.
the bunker.
Only.
So
will this be a recurring report?
Maybe. Let's see. Tapi next, well, the next we can. I cannot do a report next week because next week is the big week.
Yeah. Hold that thought. Then hold that thought.
Yeah,
hold
that thought.
But I guess on that note, I think we should talk about the big week.
Ooh, the big week. Okay, so, all right, so we're going to go to our topic of the week. Gee, the topic of the week, hot topic of the week.
The news. Which the news. Basically, just one thing that we want to talk about, apparently.
Yeah. Yep, so in 3 weeks' time, we shall be coming on to the month of June. And since it's the month of June, the first week of June, there's this thing, I think the ancient gods called it the Electronic Entertainment Expo. Never heard of it before.
Yeah, and the meaning of that terms have been lost to ancient, not to the ancient ones.
Lost to the ether of time.
Lost to history.
Boy, I mean, I not gonna like it. I miss E3 and stuff like and watching people just going there, remember there was the one LGR video where he went into literally the final ever E3 Expo as of 2019, and boy, wow, it looks fun. Tapi, web. Since it is cancelled again, now we have to rely on our good friend, the Dorito God himself, Jeff Keighley, to handle what is essentially E3. Wait, when did Summer Game Fest become a thing? Is it 2020?
Oh, yes, because it was a response to the cancellation of E3. And then it led to last year where, oops, E3 is here and also Summer Game Fest. So how?
Now they have taken over forever. For this year, they have taken over. Now it's just Summer Game Fest.
I mean, I still miss the summer. E3 2021 Game Fest game. I forgot the how we call it, but they are that last year bit. But Summer Game Fest is much easier to say.
Yeah. Oh my god. So E3. Well, the not E3, because I'm not gonna call it Summer Game Fest. We've been calling it Summer Game Fest for the last 2 years, so let's call it the not E3.
The E3.
The E3.
Oh god. It only makes sense in written form. When you say it sounds cursed.
E3.
Oof. So I guess we can like talk about it a bit since there are like eight main live streams that we play. So take a pick. How many do we want to talk about? 4 yet?
The big guns. The big guns.
So I guess that means it is Summer Game Fest. I guess Games Radar, not bad, yeah? The future game show. Xbox and Bethesda. And I guess PC Game Wiki, the final one.
Yep.
Alright, so Summer Game Fest, yeah. Last year, okay, so the first day, that means on June 10, for us in Asia, that will be at 2 a.m. God help us. Last year, what did it reveal last year at Summer Game Fest? I remember Call of Duty.
And I believe this year is going to be another Call of Duty on that show. It has to be. There is no place, no other place where Call of Duty is going to be showcasing. Yeah.
Sony's not going to show it anymore.
Okay. Speaking of Call of Duty, let's digress a bit. Will they use a rap song or a rock song for their trailer?
Last year, guna apa? Oh, let me check.
I feel like Last year was Vanguard, right?
Yeah, Vanguard. They were using Orchestra, I think.
Orchestra, okay.
But for what's it gonna call it? Cold War, they played 80 songs.
Okay. The new one will be what era?
The modern era. So modern, it's gonna be a rap. It's gonna be a rap.
It's gonna be rap.
Yeah, okay, yeah, nice.
What else?
Oh, last.
Yeah. Last year's Vanguard was using Hans Zimmer like punya lagu, apa, trailer song.
And what is will they show in Summer Game Fest?
Okay, so from like I remember last year they showed, besides Call of Duty, we have Death Stranding Director's Cut, the one like everybody thought, oh no, they're gonna make a new Metal Gear, and it's actually Lemona. Lemona, this is just the director's cut.
They revealed last year Tiny Tina's Wonderlands.
Yeah, Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, yep.
They also showed
Bloodhunt. Vampire's making Bloodhunt.
Oh, yes, I remember that. Bloodhunt.
What lagi?
They revealed
I remember the gas spring punya talk where,
oh yeah,
the one that everybody, Ubisoft kata, this is not a political game, and then he just literally said, this is the most best talk about politics in Cuba right now. Immediately out the window. So Far Cry 6. Then we have Elden Ring. Yes, the boy, the pot boy, Elden Ring. That's what I remember.
Back for and, Blood got a showing.
Yeah, Back for Blood as well here. Hades as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not that bad. Yeah, not that bad. Good, a good lineup for 2.5 hours.
I won't argue about that.
Oh yeah, and then there's the creation of the Ryan Reynolds one, and the, I think, oh yeah, this is the first time we show the showcase 2 Point Campus as well.
Yeah.
New World.
That game.
Dungeons and Dragons Dark Alliance.
Oh no.
The cringe. Now I know. Now I remember. And Fall Guys. To be Fall Guys. Yes.
Yeah.
That's...
Yep. Yeah. Oh, that's not that game.
Evil Dead the game. Evil Dead the game just came out.
Oh, speaking of Dead game.
Actual Dead. No,
the game not Dead. I mean, not figuratively Dead. Apparently, the game is already sold like 500,000. No, oh, god damn it. People are playing it. So, good on them lah. Good on them.
Yeah, and I think they say the rest aren't really that good.
Last.
I mean, it's indies, yeah. The indies section. Like, you know, Road 96, Support, Axiom Verge 2, and Tunic. So, yeah, not bad. Not bad for 2 hours. So, I'm guessing there will be another Call of Duty here. It has to be. They have to show it. They have already done it two years in a row.
Who's going to be the musical guest for this Summer Game Fest 2022?
Oh, yeah. It was Weezer. Last year it was Weezer.
Uh-huh. Who somehow will they wrangle to do a show?
My Chemical Romance.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it isn't as pulled now that they're kind of like
they're
not back, on hiatus.
Yeah,
they're back.
So what?
Okay, who's the worst they can invite? Machine Gun Kelly or Gardner?
Oh no! Oh no!
Imagine
GTA, please.
Or out of the blue. Coldplay.
Yeah, boleh.
You too.
You too. Oh no. And then immediately after that, a showcase of F1 22, so people can do the Bono jokes again.
Yeah.
Tires are gone.
It's in July, so they can't do that. EA has the money, has the dosh to do it now.
Oh, yeah? God.
As long as it's not DJ Khaled, I'm okay.
With the best! People, no, people is now NASCAR, so you cannot promote F1 anymore. Damn.
Post Malone. Post Malone is pretty. He's a gamer.
He's okay. I don't mind seeing him on stage.
Post Malone is okay.
Boy.
That any other mainstream, like, wholesome performers, I don't mind la. Put it on show la. Even though I don't know them, at least I can just ignore them for a bathroom break. And they won't, like, upset me.
Alright, so that is, I think that's it for Summer Game Fest. I think the most, I think that one is the nice, good start lah, before the crashing, the crashing down that is the Netflix punya tu.
Next game. And
and then the Tribeca Gaming Spotlight.
Next game. I think this,
Wholesome Direct pun.
I'll take a look, but I won't be like, yo, let's go. Let's watch this. But I'll take a look. You know, remember, I cannot remember. I think we did talk about it last year on the podcast, right? How Wholesome Games is maybe too good.
Too much, too wholesome.
Too wholesome. It's like, oh, you eating the same brand of candy with too many doses. And it gets like, oh, too much. You know, that feeling of like, oh, when you are like sugar overload. No. Stop it.
Sugar rush.
Okay.
Sugar
rush. I cannot take it anymore. I'm full. I need a palate cleanser. Which is weird to say. Which is weird to say. Where Wholesome Game is all about like, you know, fishing game and like, oh, very nice vibes. Come, please, some for the sake of my sanity, shoot people. Shoot the children.
No more, senpai, no more.
Please, I need explosions just for one bit. And then we go back, relax.
We did it. And the actual relaxing is the best part. Okay. So, I guess we talk about the game, what ke game radar sebenarnya? Future game show.
It's Games Radar.
Alright, Games Radar. So, what did they have last year? They had... Let me check. What's this? This is... Extinctions? Dino game? Not to be confused with the other Dino game. The Capcom one. Then we have... I am just looking at it quickly. Back for Blood. This is. I think this one does another film showcase of Back for Blood. Yep. Hell Let Loose. This is. I think the first time we see Hell Let Loose for console. So not that bad. I am scrolling fast again. Then we have. What's this? Is this or this more Enlisted? Another World War II game. This is just such like indie games, like the double A section, I guess.
Honestly,
because you know, the double A.
More for me, more is more like, this is the show where we wanted to do a show on summer, but Summer Game Fest doesn't have a budget or time for us. Here we go. The leftover bin.
The double A game.
But some of them are like double deep. Like, Back 4 Blood had a showcase on Summer Game Fest. Like, one trailer, I guess. But down here in the Future Game Show, we showed a bit more.
Yeah. And also Dying Light 2 as well.
Yeah.
Dying Light 2, Ollie World. Hey, Rogue Legacy with that data. So this is basically yours. This is basically your place of looking at games, man. All two of your games that you've reviewed is here.
Yeah, I slipped through that show last year. That's why most of the names are not familiar.
And Swan Song as well.
Oh god damn it. I totally slept through. Yeah, here we are. We got those codes.
All three of the games on the Future Game Show has been reviewed by Gamer Matters. Amazing. So yeah. So that means if we slept through this one, then that means those games next year we'll get to review them.
You know what? Maybe not seeing those games early might be a better way to experience the games. Ah. But that's just me personally. But I don't know.
Right, nice. Game show 12 yet? 12th June? Oh, there is a Sunday, 3 a.m. So we might do a redo of that, man. And then I guess the next one is Guerrilla Collective. Nippon, also 5 a.m.
Total indie. That's total indie.
Yeah, that's total indie. And then the big one, Bethesda and Xbox, June 13th on Monday, 1 a.m.
Which we have to address some things.
Yeah.
Like from previous episode, we have already nailed down. Oh, okay, of course, Xbox are going to show this game. They are not going to show that game. The curse strikes again.
Yeah. I think they showed Starfield again. This is the first time they showed Starfield. Like, nah, this game's not going to release next year.
Nope.
I was right.
No Starfield, no Redfall.
Redfall's
too much surprise. Which was supposed to be the headlining game.
Chernobyl 2, Chernobyl 2, like Stalker 2 as well. Okay, too. Ironically, which is sad considering what's happening there. Ayo.
All the expected titles coming at the end of the year. I'm not sure about Stalker 2 moving to 2023 specifically.
Nah, it's not gonna finish, yeah.
But because I don't think they managed, they don't put a date. Because, you know, situation over there.
Yeah, they know.
Hopefully, they find a way to get it out. But yeah, Starfield Redfall 2023.
Starfield Redfall 2023, Stalker TBC now.
So now what will Xbox and Bethesda gonna show?
What about that game? Apa? That game Avalanche Studios making, Contraband. That looks nice.
I would be surprised if they showed that and say, "Hope, end of 2022, co-op game."
They need a game. Xbox needs a game.
Yeah, they need something to show.
I hope it's not this is the expense of getting those Bethesda games delayed. Like,
this is the first showing of the Xbox one is also the first showing of Battlefield 34.
Because EA has a very strong relationship with Microsoft in terms of this
12 time. Minutes as well. The less we talk about the game, the better. Oh, it's and also one of our game of the years, Psychonauts 2. But without Tim Schafer punya fake out standing the whole story. I like. So like that is actually so taking back and like a year later, that is actually quite genius. He just told everyone. Everyone thought, "Oh no, he's gonna spoil the whole game." Nah, that's just one part. That was part one. That was the start of the game. It was crazier. Bethesda, more Bethesda stuff. Oh, they showcased the pit. And my friends and I have played Fallout 76 The Pit via the PTS server. It's not good. The verdict is not good. Oh my god. That's a lot of L's of Bethesda right now. Next, we have Hades. Good game. Very good game. Halo Infinite. Also, a return to form. Yes.
I mean, will they introduce the new John Halo game?
Oh, after... I don't know.
Featuring Master Chiefs.
Do they want to use the TV show on your Master Chief? Nah, please.
Nah, I don't think so.
No, please, no.
At least put the skin on. And show some skin, especially that particular part. It's not called Master Chiefs for nothing.
Master Chiefs. Blood those Master Chiefs.
Wow. Okay, then we have Then they showcase Far Cry 6, Diablo 2, and Bolila. And who was this? Oh yeah, this game, this indie game, replace the 2D Voxonia game that it hasn't come out yet, so. Shush, shush, shush. That's sad.
That's the thing. Among Us, looking at last year's showcase so far, right? I don't see anything from those.
Outer Worlds 2. That's also, I don't think it's coming next this year.
I don't think any of those are gonna make a showing this year, which leads to the question: do Xbox have games to show?
Oh no.
That they are putting, this is also Xbox and Bethesda's show. So what are they gonna bring? What are they gonna tell us? What are they cooking? Like, they can't just like throw it. Yeah, we have a new game to announce. New world premiere reveal. Another cinematic trailer with a title, and we have no idea what it's gonna be. I mean, how many times are they gonna do that?
I mean, the closest I think they can announce are games they already paid to be on Game Pass day one.
Yeah. I guess the break glass emergency is like, oh, we're gonna get the big AAA games on day one Game Pass.
Yeah.
Somehow, if they got Gotham Knights, people are gonna be crazy.
Oh, please don't make Gotham Knights. I am not paying 300 ringgit for a game that looks...
And that's why it needs to be on Game Pass.
I'm not paying 300 bucks for a game that looks like Arkham Origins 2.0.
Like that's the value of Game Pass. Like, games are not looking too hard. Pre-order numbers are not good. I know what to do. Hello, Xbox, Microsoft. Do you have a user base of more than 10 million people that can we establish? We can put it on your service because we need at least 10 million people, or the execs will cut our budget. Or sold us off in pieces. not literally, but like figuratively, as in, oh, this company sold to pieces. Like, you know, Square Enix is doing.
Yep.
Yes, I'm alluding to a lot of things Square Enix did with Game Pass. They have broken a lot of those emergency glass.
Here's the whole of Final Fantasy 13, 1, 2, and 3. Nah, free on Game Pass, go.
No, oh, that'll be golden.
And then renew it after that. deal.
Yeah.
Remember the whole bit about, Square Enix asked for all the Final Fantasy games, all the modern Final Fantasy games are on Game Pass, right? If you are on Game Pass right now, I think the latest one is only 13.
Oh no.
They removed 12, you were like, what? Damn. Oh, 10. 10 is there. 10 is there. 10 and then 2. But they removed 12.
Okay, like Gotham Knights for PC is 205, so not really bad. But for console, I'm sorry, guys. It's 300. It's 100 too much.
Honestly, I'm not planning to check out that game. That's another open world game. It doesn't look anything like. Ooh, cool, you know, the only part where I see people playing Gotham Knights is because want the sort of polish game that you expect, that check all the boxes of a AAA title. And two, there are DC fans, but that's about it. Does it have a Nemesis system? No, right, so. Why should I bother?
I don't think that Montreal.
Yeah. No.
Montreal. What's it called? WB Montreal is just the spin off when you're a company. Yeah. I think most of the games are just spin offs. Yeah. Arkham Origins, Lego Legends of Chimera. They are just basically just the speed of vice. So,
we'll see lah. This is technically Gotham Knights should be the big game lah. if it turns out to be as such. But jury's still out.
Jury's still out, yeah.
That what other games can Xbox announce, say, oh, coming to Game Pass, and everybody is going to be like, oh, easy clap, W, and everything. What other games that we
Death
know?
Death Stranding.
Death Stranding to Game Pass. Okay.
No, they cannot. It's already an Sony.
It's Sony, yeah.
Sony IP, yeah. Gotcha.
I mean, Elden Ring is already selling well. Why not?
Give it free to Game Pass. Oh, the ultimate flex.
Oh, that would be a weird deal if they yeah, that's a weird champ moment if they did that. In a way that they could have just not take the lump sum of money up front and just waddle in the sales that keeps on like seeping through.
I mean, okay, the games in Bandai Namco punya library yang ada Game Pass is Katamari Damacy, Carlton Access, Code Vein. So might as well at this point, I think. What? Just yeet the character.
That would be like great flags, man. Ultimate flags.
Yeah, like Microsoft showing that, oh, we can pay them enough to get it on Game Pass, and also Bandai Namco can say, hey, we just got more money.
Not only got more money,
we got sales and we got more money as well. So, like, we already have enough sales to like to appease our corporate overlords. Now we got more money straight up. Without paid. Doing much. We just signed the contract.
Paid back home. Amazing. The biggest brain move kalau jadi kan.
And please, for the love of God, don't announce any more studio acquisitions. Your studio acquisitions right now has not paid off. The fruit of the labor is not paid off.
Imagine again. Remember that 5% that Saudi Arabia just bought from Nintendo? It's actually us. We have bought Nintendo.
Because what? Microsoft bought Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, technically owned Saudi Arabia. So
Microsoft owned Saudi Aramco as well as the sovereign the investment fund. Like, oh god.
We have bought Aramco and we have also bought the Valentino Rossi team as well. Like the monopoly just falls into.
I hate that Microsoft's acquisition of Activision Blizzard has totally made all my references to billions of dollars being small. Like every time I see like, oh, we are making a big deal about a sale of $2 billion. Oh, $2 billion is not that much compared to like $70 billion. That's a small deal. When it's actually a big number, billion. But, oh.
Yeah, like you know, guys, people were very angry when Square Enix just sold off Tomb Raider for 300 million. Like, yo, those in gaming industry, when you're too, that's peanuts.
I guess the problem is like power creep.
The
power creep problem. We've seen Goku fight this much power, now everything seems irrelevant.
Yeah. Everyone's throwing billions, like mere millions as small. Now
change. You just say it's that much only, no big deal lah. But actually, it is. It's just that the perspective having. I cannot watch Formula One thinking it's a big money sport now. How many is the cost cap? 200 million.
200 million.
300 million is the cost of Square Enix. Selling off their North American developers, like god damn,
they can pay for an F1 team for a year.
No wonder they can supply with the free Game Pass for on the two cars then.
I mean, how many codes they were giving away, like 10 or 20 meager, very nothing. Small marketing, basically nothing.
Yeah,
Yeah, boy. Here we are. Where are the games, Microsoft? You pay more money, who are?
You have more money than sense.
Like, seriously, if they announce another studio acquisition this time, I'm not gonna be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the gimmick has run off. Now it's a matter of where's the end result of all these investments. And there are very weird reports right now about some of the Microsoft first party studios not doing well.
Oh no! Yes, the honeymoon period is over.
Appendix, Undead Labs, Undead Studios, or what they call it? Undead Labs, right? Mm. The State of Decay team, like, oh, what? They just announced a trailer with the trailer and the CGI cinematic, and the developers have no idea what they are doing right now, still stuck in pre production hell? Oh no!
Oof, it's gonna be interesting. Like, this is just the smiggle, the like 4 out of 8, mungkin 12 kalau Nintendo or Sony has a say. I mean, Epic Games also did one, tapi we don't talk about that as well. Oof. What a weird way for E3. So I guess, is that it for the podcast?
I guess so. It has to end with a rant.
It is. It runs down just like Microsoft running down the companies. Oh boy.
So what's on the thumbnail then?
That's a good question. I guess we can talk about. We should put in vampires, I guess. Like Twilight vampires, just for kicks.
Oh, I was thinking, okay lah. I put a multitude of vampires across different media.
Ooh, do it. It's better.
like Count Dracula from Sesame Street.
Yes.
He sucks too. there are plenty of scenes in Swan Song where one of the characters just say, "You can count on me," and I just said in my head like, "God damn, you can count on me." Okay, vampires. Then what?
Then Minecraft, tapi how are you to improve? Wait. What will make Minecraft stand out on the thumbnail?
A barrage of TNT blocks.
Ah, yes, nice.
Just copy paste and copy paste and copy paste until it overflows the thumbnail.
Yes.
While Apple, I forgot the name. Minecraft Steve Minecraft is standing Minecraft there with his meat out. I mean that not the other meat, but the meat in Minecraft.
The meat in Minecraft.
His meat out.
Yeah. Oh no.
Yeah, I'm totally just gonna rip the remove Smash Brothers victory screen. That one. Which have caused a certain Mr. Phil Spencer to say, "Whoa, they should check that out." what else?
Boy. Okay, so, what? So now it's up. Where are we doing it? I forgot.
Oh, we're not done with the thumbnail. I think.
Is it just there? I forgot it. I think it's just there.
Okay. So, a lot of room for creative interpretation then.
Yes, very good. A lot of creative interpretation.
Yeah, social links.
Okay, so I have been Daniel. You can follow me on twitter.com. That is, my username is FlickFR4KY. I have a review of, okay, let me pronounce this right, because the last time I hear it again, I spoke said it incorrectly. It is Euden.
Euden.
Euden. Oh god, I already wrong. Already wrong.
It's literally Heroes Legend.
Oh,
Euden.
Euden Chronicle Rising. Yep. I did a first impression back in April, and now the game's out, and the review is coming out as well.
Oh, Euden is a Japanese word.
Yes.
Yes.
Ah, okay. So then Euden lah. Euden.
Euden. AU as in hero, then as in densetsu.
Oh, AU. Then.
AU.
So it's not Euden. Easy.
Yeah, it's not Euden.
Now that I know it's not some random word.
Alright, so Anand?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, Dropnir, DR4UPN1R, DR4UPN1R. I had nothing in the pipeline right now, unless any companies want to send any hardware for me to review. Mac?
And I have been Amirul Macronos Ashraf, MECKRONOS. A review of Vampire the Masquerade Swan Song, which has a colon and a dash on
colon
it.
Colon and a dash on
I hope it doesn't have an expansion which have to extend the colon or the dash in some way or form. And the review of that game is out now on GameMeters.com. I believe I have some other reviews already done, but I forgot. No, that's it. But I have some in the pipeline, some in the works. Just stay tuned for that. And yeah, just ready for the not E3 Summer of Gaming Festival, whatever it is, coverage coming sometime in June. And until then, this has been Diode Lord, the Gaming Matters Podcast, and
please, no more open house. I'm tired.
It's okay. It practices you to exercise your cheeks. That's like smiling. I read that cheek.
Yeah, that cheek, eh?
How many double entendres did we did? If someone keeps count, please put them. Please count it out. Thank you.